good to be saved this morning. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 45. And I count it a great honor just to be here and then to get to preach, the opportunity to preach. And I want to thank Preacher for allowing us to preach. But it's not an honor to follow Chris Simpson's greatest message ever. I think Preacher was just looking out like, who do I want to torment today? Make them preach after that. Oh, bless Brother Hewitt. There, come on. No, I'm just picking. But I'm thankful to be here, and I love Bible Baptist Church and how they poured into my family and I for 13 years, and I'm very thankful for the Bible Baptist Church. If you would, let's stand one more time, Genesis chapter number 45, and we'll read these verses and then let you sit down. The Bible says in verse number 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Can I get an amen right there? And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Amen. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother's neck, brother Benjamin's neck, and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon him. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you fill me with the Holy Ghost of God this morning. I pray that you remind us of what you've done for us through the cross of Calvary today. And I pray, dear God, that you touch those that may be here lost, that need to be saved, that you draw them and show them their need of a Savior, and they repent and believe the gospel before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated. In our church, over the past year or so, we've been preaching through the book of Genesis on pictures and types of the gospel. And the gospel, we know this, and this is the Monday morning crowd at a Jubilee, but we know this, the doctrine of the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ for our sins according to the scriptures, his burial and his resurrection according to the scriptures. And I got good news this morning. If you'll believe that, hey, you can be saved today. Amen. But we also know the definition of the gospel, and that is the good news. So I've just been simply looking, Brother Danny, for the good news in the book of Genesis. And this morning, if you noticed in our reading, there was a couple phrases that kept coming up. He cried. He wept. There were tears. And this morning, just for a little while, I want to preach on the gospel according to tears. The gospel according to tears. The first thing I see in these verses is verse 1, 2, and 4. I see the revelation in this gospel. Joseph had been away from them. Joseph had been far away, and they had, in their minds, they are the ones that had done all this to Joseph. You remember all the way back in chapter 37, there was a prophecy through the dreams of Joseph that there would come a day that they would bow down to Joseph, that they would lay down at the feet of Joseph, and some of that's already taken place by this point. Hey, but they had done their dead level best,
to keep the word of God from coming true, but now there's a revelation. And you read in verse number 1, Joseph put everybody else out, and all of a sudden Joseph's standing alone. Joseph, nobody else shining like Joseph is. Joseph stands all by himself. And you know what it was? It was tribulation. It was tribulation that brought the brethren back to Joseph. We know that they're just 2 years into this thing, but it was a 7-year time of tribulation that brought the brethren back to Joseph. Hey, before that 7 years, before that tribulation, hey, they mocked Joseph, they ridiculed Joseph, they stripped Joseph, they threw Joseph in a pit, they sold Joseph off. Hey, but glory to God, because of a little tribulation, now all of a sudden they're bowing down at the feet of Joseph. All of a sudden they see Joseph in his throne. All of a sudden Joseph has all the answers. All of a sudden Joseph has just what they need. I want to tell you, when Joseph stood up that day, there was nobody else like Joseph. Oh, but can I tell you, about 2,000 years ago, hey, the Jewish people mocked Jesus and they crucified Jesus. They nailed him to a cross. They ridiculed him. They called him a blasphemer. They rejected him. Oh, but in just a little while, there's 7 years of tribulation coming, Brother Bobby. And what they see is just a son. It's just a prophet. It's some Gentile God. One day, hey, there's coming one day, there's going to be a revelation where they're going to see Jesus. And those, he's going to save them all. Hey, those that wounded him, those that smote him, one day, hey, they're going to see Jesus standing alone just for who he is. Amen. Can I remind you, dreams do come true. Amen. They came true for Joseph. And one day, everything that they've said about Jesus is coming to fruition. I see the revelation in this gospel. But number two, I see the reproof. Would you look at verse number 3 with me? And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? Isn't that like Joseph always thinking everybody else? I don't have time to preach that right there. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Let me say this, the reproof. You put yourself in their shoes. Here's the most powerful man in the world. Here's the man with the scepter in his hand. Here's the man that has all the armies at his back. Here is the man that had every right to do to them and the ability to do to them of what they had done to him. You know what I would have done? This is just me. This is why God didn't let me be Joseph, Brother Sam. I would have stripped them down. I would have thrown them in a pit. I would have ate lunch up above them while they're starving in the pit. And then when some slave traders come by, I would have said, all right, fellas, I'll give you a bargain on these 11 right here, or these 10. Amen. Y'all would have too. Just check your halos at the door. I mean, that would have been kind of fun just to mess with them. I'm not saying actually do it. I would have just liked to have messed with them a little bit. But Joseph didn't do that, did he? And Brother Chris, I would have been scared to death if I would have been Judah, if I would have been Reuben, if I would have been Simeon, if I would have been Levi. I would have been scared to death, Brother Sam, thinking, oh man, what's he going to do? His wrath is about to come down on us. But guess what? Hey, that's not what happened, is it? But let me say this. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. Listen, there's some people here today, and I know it's Jubilee. I know the crowd that's coming, but I know I've got some lost people with me. I don't mind saying that came with me, and I'm praying for them. Hey, there's some of you here that might be lost and on your way to hell, and you might be enjoying your sin. You might be thinking, I've got it all planned out. I'll take my time. Hey, you might not have any time. You don't know when you're going to stand before God. Hey, and one day your chickens, they are going to come home to roost. Hey, you say, I've never done anything to God. No, neighbor, you are an enemy of God. The Bible says we are at enmity with God if you're not saved. You are an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You have been divided because of sin from the God that's created you, and he loves you. And every day you continue in sin, there's more block, there is more hardness, there's more temptation just to continue on in sin. Hey, let me say this morning. Hey, you ought to get right with God today. Amen. I see the revelation, I see the reproof in this gospel. But number 3, I like this. Verses 5 through 8, I see the realization in this gospel. And I'm not going to read all of it again, but Joseph gives them the good news. He could have poured, Brother Jeff, every bit of the wrath of God out on those men. He could have took Pharaoh's wrath and poured it out on them. But instead, he said, wait, boys, don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. I've got some good news for you. He said, guess what? You think you did this, but you didn't do this. God did this. See, their argument is, and Brother Samuel's here, and if you're ever witnessing to a Jew, they want to get you in an aha moment. They want to say, well, who do you think killed Jesus? Well, here's some answers. I believe the Jews killed him judicially according to the law. Amen. I believe that the Romans did it physically, right? The nails in the hand. Who crucified Jesus? Jews did it judicially. Who crucified him? The Romans did it physically. We did it spiritually. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, which was a contrary to us, which was nailed it to his cross. Amen. Nailed it to his cross. But God did it providentially. See, it wasn't you or I that actually did that. It wasn't the Romans. They would have had no power if it wasn't been for God. It wasn't the Jews. Hey, I know they all had this part in the whole scheme of things, but it was God that poured his wrath out on his son. Say amen right there. And just like Joseph, hey, they all thought, hey, we did this. Hey, we're gonna pay for this. No, God did this. God sent Joseph into Egypt. God let him go through trials. God let him go through suffering. Hey, so that he could come out on the other side and not just save his brethren, but guess who else Joseph saved? He saved the whole world. Hey, can I tell you, a Calvary? Hey, it was not by accident, but it was by design. And glory to God, God did that. God crucified his son. God put him to death. God poured out his wrath on his son. And guess what? Yes, God wants to save the Jews. Praise God. Oh, but guess what? God didn't just do that for the Jewish people. He did it for the Gentiles too. Hey, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. I got good news this morning. He told them, he said, now look, fellas, you got your money and all this, but it ain't enough. He'd already showed them that their money. If you go back, he kept giving them back their money. This is a type, Brother Sam. He was showing you cannot buy mercy from God. You cannot buy grace from God. And Joseph is showing these boys that it's not by your good works that you're getting this grace. It's by my good works that you're doing getting this grace. It's not by your mercy that you're getting this grace. It's by my mercy that you're getting this grace. You can't do anything. You've never been good enough. Matter of fact, you've been really bad. But it was all in God's plan so that I could get here, I could suffer, I could go through all this, and God could rise me to the top so that I could save you and save them too. Amen. I see the revelation in this gospel, the reproof in this gospel, the realization in this gospel. But in verses 9 through 13, I love this. Would you look here with me in your Bible? I see the responsibility in this gospel. Look at verse 9. Haste ye. He said, what does that word mean? It means hurry up in the originals. Amen. So he's wanting them to hurry up. So the first thing after, can I say it this way? They got saved by Joseph. Is that okay? Just making a typology there, making a picture there. The first thing after they got saved by Joseph, he says, y'all got to hurry up. Well, and do what? Look at it. And what? What? Say it out loud. And what? Go up. I don't want you to just hurry. I got a plan for you. Hey, now that you know about the corn, now that you know about the suffering, now that you know about the mercy, now that you know about the grace, you got to hurry up, fellas, because we don't have much time left. So what I need you to do is I need you to go back home, and I need you to tell everybody you can find that Joseph's alive and he's doing well. Joseph stands alone. Joseph sits on the throne. Joseph's got a crown. Hey, you go back and tell him that Joseph has got everything you need to make it. Oh, can I tell you, hey, since Jesus saved us, the very least we could ever do is to go out to a dying world and say, Jesus is alive. Jesus has everything you need. Jesus did it all. Jesus took care of everything. You won't have to worry about your sin anymore because Jesus took care of it. We have a responsibility in this gospel. I like this. He didn't say, go save your brethren. He didn't say, go force your brethren's hand on this. He didn't say, go make them. He said, you just go bring them to me. Isn't that beautiful? It's not my job to save anybody, because then I get the pat on the back, Brother John. Oh, it's not your job to save anybody, Brother John. Hey, you know whose job it is to save? Jesus is alone. See, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. And there has to be a work. There is a responsibility of man in evangelism. Oh, but if there's not the drawing of God, if we don't get them to Jesus, if they don't see Jesus for who he really is, just like Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. Hey, that's what the sinner needs to see, a Savior that's high and lifted up. And it's not our job to twist arms or to manipulate or to use psychology. It's simply just our responsibility to tell them how good Jesus is, and just get him to get those sinners to Jesus. Amen. Just get them to Jesus. Last thing I see in this gospel according to tears. Man, I'm about to have me a time preaching. I didn't tell you this, but a couple days after you being, you talked about this opportunity. I was just studying for Sunday, and the Lord dealt with my heart. This is the message right here. Not only, man, there's a revelation, a reproof, a realization, a responsibility. But number 5 this morning, I want you to look at verses 10 through 12 and then 14 through 15. There's a reward. Joseph said, here's what I want you to do, fellas. I want you to go spend the rest of your days gathering everybody that you can and bring them to me. Isn't that right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? But he said, but when you get back, when you get back to my presence, I got a place for you. He said, there's a place called Goshen, and there ain't nowhere like it in the rest of the land. It's well watered, and there's plains, and there's grass for your sheep, and you can care for your sheep, and you can care for your lambs. And he said, there's a place I prepared. See, Joseph already had it in his mind that one day maybe his brethren would come around. He had it in his mind, Brother Jeff, that one day his brethren might show up. And he said, so while I got this opportunity, I'm going to prepare them a place. I'm going to set them a place aside. I'm going to make it special. So when they come down, it'll be ready for them. Oh, can I remind you, neighbor, that Jesus said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, it may seem bad down here sometimes. It might get tough. Oh, but just keep bringing them to Jesus. Hey, because some golden daybreak, we're going home. God's prepared a place for us. He's given us a place. He's got it ready. Hey, we just got to keep going until he calls us home. Amen. Hallelujah. Got 5 little babies over there one day, and the beautiful thing about that, preacher, is all those babies are over there, and God's raising them, so I can't mess them up. Amen. Oh, but there's going to be a day I'm going to have babies all around me. I've got friends and loved ones over there. Oh, but there's coming a great day. Hey, where I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. Hey, we're going to get to kneel at his feet. We're going to get to worship him for all of eternity. Because not because of what we've done, but because of what he done. Because he prepared us a way. Because he prepared us a place. And it won't be long until we're home. My challenge to you this morning would be, if you're lost, what in the world are you waiting on? It's going to be a miserable week for you. My goodness, you're a glutton for punishment. Why don't you just get it out of the way? Just get saved this morning. Just get in. Best thing that'll ever happen to you on this side of the grave or on that side of the grave. Just get in this morning. Go, hey, turn from your works and your wickedness and trust the gospel this morning and be saved. But if you're saved this morning, what are you doing with your time? What are you devoting your life to? Paul said this in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That word conversation, it's not talking about how we talk, it's about our life. Is your life the gospel?
Paul got so far into that preacher that it came to a point where he said, it's my gospel. Did he create a new gospel? No. But he took ownership in the gospel. And this morning, if it was good for the brethren to go tell everybody, it's good for us to go tell everybody. If you're not living for God, you can this morning. If you're not living for the gospel, you can this morning.